And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Gentlemen, before Obama has declared a civil war upon everything, shall I say, traditional in America from the day he was installed into power. Oh, I know he was elected. We understand that. But he declared war on every institution in America. We can name them, from the military, which he has gutted from the top down. Oh, there are many men who are brave enough to still fight the battles, but the leadership that could fight the government is gone. Let's put it that way. Zero leadership. Zero strategy against ISIS. Isn't it interesting that all of a sudden our great fearless commander-in-chief is ordering ground troops into Syria after Russia took the lead? Isn't that odd? Zero education, zero culture, zero immigration, zero religion, zero science, zero business sense, zero liberty, zero policing. Obama's endgame, a national police force. So it's all in government zero. Now, you'd expect me to talk about the book, but I'm going to ask you some questions first. Have you been to your local bookstore to find my book, which is launched today? Were the liberal punks in the store courteous, or did you get negative looks and comments? Was government zero front and center, or was it hidden below Jane Has Three Mommies in the feminine hygiene section in the basement of the bookstore? Did you purchase one copy for yourself, or did you buy one for the liberal neighbor as well? The well-meaning liberal neighbor, the ignoramus, who is certain that Obama is the greatest hero in the history of the world. Did you read the book? What is your favorite part of the book? What will you do when you finish reading the book? Will you give it away to a friend or neighbor? Those are some of the questions. Now, an article came out yesterday on WorldNet Daily, which I thought was great. Their headline was, GOP is not divided, it's compromised. I changed it to, Obama owns Republicans. It's a great interview by my good friend at WorldNet Daily, Art Moore, a really fabulous writer and all-around wonderful man. And the article is so well-written, I'm not going to read it to you, because you can read it yourself on WorldNet Daily. You can read it on michaelsavage.com. But I think I should summarize a bit of that. He asked me why another book. And my answer was, most people don't even know the extent of the systemic damage to all the departments and branches of government. I spell out what Obama did to the military, how he purged the military of every combat general who would have blown the whistle on Benghazi or taken ISIS out in a week. They're all gone. Shall I go on? Talk about my book? You want me to just do the news? Would you like a meatball recipe? Would you like me to talk about... I could do anything. I could talk about dogs today. I met a nice dog last night. And I know that the weather is changing because I was able to drink a half a bottle of red wine without a hangover or a headache. Now, admittedly, it was a very expensive bottle of red wine. I cannot drink it until the weather changes. My body is... See, I'm a natural man. I'm like Zorba the Greek. But I'm not Zorba the Greek. But a man like me should live 1,000 years. Seems like I've lived 2,000 years already. But the fact is... I had a half a bottle of red wine, but it was Gaia. Those of you who know red wine, G-A-G-A, G-A-G-A, Italian. Now, why am I telling you about it? Because I don't want to talk about the book. I'd rather talk about good red wine right now. I'm in that mood. And I don't know where I'm going to go with this stream of consciousness. It could go all the way back to the crimson. It can go to the red and the black. It can go to the red badge of courage. It can go to anything you want to do that's colored red, including the government, which is all red. See, if I go with the red leads to other red. And red always leads back to the Reds, who destroyed Russia and turned it into the Soviet Union. And the Reds are now running the West. And what's different about the Reds today is that the Reds are suicidal. And that's a product of drugs, sex, and rock and roll, which has destroyed their DNA itself. Now, I don't care if they commit suicide. In fact, I wish they would. But the fact is they're committing suicide for the nation and getting away with it because the rats on the other side of the aisle are, well, let us say, helping them along. There was an interesting article in today's New York Post entitled, "Why the Rat Watch the Rats Flee the Anti-Cop Ship." And the rats they most particularly focus on is the biggest rat in the history of America, Al Sharpton. one of the worst haters in the history of the world, who made his entire career with a vermin lawyer with a ponytail, a little rat lawyer, was last I checked tied up on a sex charge. Al and his lawyer buddy made tens of millions of dollars by suing the police department in New York City, along with Eric Holder and Barack Obama, or should we call him affectionately Barry from Honolulu. See, when you say Barack Obama, immediately you have a certain degree of respect. He's the president. But if you say Barry from Honolulu, you realize he's just a guy. He's just a guy, a pot-smoking kid from Hawaii who got very lucky with some very powerful handlers who put him into this position. Barry from Honolulu. Now, what if he doesn't really love the country? There are millions of Americans who hate being Americans. San Francisco is filled with them. The dominant number of people who live in the city hate this country. Their pride consists of saying they hate the country. They're so superior, they walk around telling you they hate the country. So what if one of them became president? What if one of these haters of America became the president? What might he or she do? Why, exactly what he is doing with his sorority. So you say, well, okay, we know all this. What can we do about it? I got to tell you, I have a 40-point action plan in the back of Government Zero. Unlike some who complain every day and whine, and I listen to it, all I hear is whining and screeching. You know, there's a saying, patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel. I've been hearing that over and over in my head recently. It's a long-forgotten phrase. Patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel. Just remember that. It's very important because I try to distinguish my brand of nationalism from the, shall I say, the chorus of those who wrap themselves in the flag. The flag is beautiful, but watch out for those who wrap themselves in the flag, especially politicians who just, a few years ago, loved the Republican Party. In fact, most of the conservatives on radio love the Republican Party as near as 1996. Remember that, Robert and Jim? Oh, they were invited to the White House. In fact, some of them said they were the water carrier for the Republican Party, but not today. They're all independents. They're all copying my lead and saying I don't exist. Well, that's very good. Thank you for following my lead. You know, when you're the lead sled dog, the only thing the other dogs see is your behind. Did you ever hear that one? I saw that once. There was a lawyer, a very flamboyant lawyer in San Francisco, very famous name, Melvin Belli. He drove a big white, I don't know what it was, a fancy car, a Rolls Royce. Always had a flower in his lapel. He was known for his tort defenses, very flowery. And if you appeared in his office, his brick-lined office on Montgomery Street, which I would do when I first moved to the city, I don't know when I moved here, in 74, I would walk around a lot more than I do now. I'd look in and he had a big sign on his wall, and it was something along those lines. I can't remember it. Robert, look it up. When you're the lead sled dog, all the other dogs see is you're behind, and they yap at you. I thought that was pretty good. I liked it. Well, today is the day we begin to win. And the earth is shaking here in the Bay Area because of the minor earthquakes. Last week, the sky was particularly unusual. In fact, a few days ago, it was yellow. It was a very bizarre yellow. I never saw the yellow. And I took a picture of it on my new iPad, which has the best camera I've ever used in my life, going all the way back to my first Nikon F. And I couldn't believe the yellow, so I showed it to a man who's lived here his whole life, and his father lived here his whole life, who's a boater and a man who knows the air, and he said it's earthquake yellow. And he said it looks just like the sky looked in 1989 before the big one, the Loma Prieta earthquake. So any day now, I could be on the air and you could hear a rumble and a tumble, and then there'll be nothing but a jumble. And that'll be it for the day. I don't know how deep the schism might go. But you want to hear something bizarre, now that I'm thinking out loud for a change, sharing my innermost thoughts with you up to a point. Do you know that I'd say a month before the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989, at that time I was visiting a Chinese martial artist who was also a fortune teller, he wouldn't call himself a fortune teller. He was a Chinese martial arts teacher, but he also could see. Okay, he had seeing abilities. And he said to me, move away from the water and move up to a hill. I said, why? He said, just move away from the water, move up to the hill. That's what he said. And it wasn't too long before the earthquake. Now, I didn't move away from the water. In fact, I was living in a little house, built single wall construction house. And during the earthquake, I thought that somebody had slipped acid into my orange juice because everything moved in every direction. I thought that my mind had gone. I didn't know it was an earthquake. It's a strange phenomenon. Well, I hope that my book, Government Zero, causes such a shaking across the globe today, because I believe the chapters are unique. The organization is as tight as the spinal column of an amphibian. And the fact of the matter is, it has very important solutions for you to use in your future discussions and arguments with the ignoramuses around you, however nice they may be. That is the opening to my program. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
I'm running for president to protect our families and communities from the plague of gun violence. It is both heartbreaking and infuriating that we lose an average of 90 Americans every day because of guns. And no matter what anybody says, this is not an urban talking. Problem. This is a problem.
Turn Eva Braun off. Eva would like to take your guns away. The reason Eva wants to take your guns away is that she has private security called the Secret Service, as does every other government official at a certain level and above. And if she has it, you shouldn't have it, because she's better than you. And, of course, if you bring in Syrian Muslims of military age, mainly men, you don't need guns to protect yourself. Now, it is true they're rushing to buy guns in Europe. They wish they had a Second Amendment. The Israelis are rushing to buy guns to protect themselves from the throat cutters. But at the same time, the world is awakening to the fact that the Second Amendment protects the citizenry. You have demagogues like Eva Braun Clinton telling you that you shouldn't have a gun. You don't need a gun. So she'd like you to go in another direction. She'd like you to lose the freedom that was granted to you by people so much better than her. Let's play a little music, please. I need to have the Okie from Finokie song, because I feel like it's a book party. I'd like you to join me today in having a little celebration with me. The book took me a year to write and 6 months to get it ready for publication. It took me months to get ready for yesterday, let alone today. Do we have the song yet? Because I'm ad-libbing. Still, I gave it 3 minutes ago. I said, look for it, but okay. Let's forget the song. We can go right to the callers. Because I like that song. I'm just an Okie from Finokie. You're going back to that line, if you're not the lead dog, the view never changes. That's the way it was written by some guy whose name I forget. But Melvin Belli, the famous lawyer, changed that to saying, if you are the lead dog, the only thing the other dogs see is your, and I can't use the word because it's a family show, we'll just say you're behind. I like Melvin Belli's version better. And that's why people resent Michael Savage, because they're looking at only one part of me. I don't blame them. I mean, if they could actually see how handsome I am, maybe they wouldn't be so embittered. Maybe they wouldn't sound like they have only one testicle. Maybe they would sound like men. 855-407-282. Let's go to the callers. Chris in Washington is giving us a book report. Chris, did you find Government Zero, or was it hidden under feminine hygiene?
Dr. Savage, I purchased your book this afternoon at Barnes & Noble in Arlington, Virginia. The book was on the new release table, but it was hidden out of sight, and it was on the back of it. It was right behind the, it was on the other side, out of view to most customers who will walk in. I asked the cashier why the book was placed there, and she said it was corporate policy that determines where the books are placed. And
that's not... No. Look, let me tell you something. Anyone listening to this show, if you go into a Barnes & Noble and it's not on the octagon table, demand that they put it on the octagon table. And number two, put it on the front of the octagon table, because the publisher paid for that placement. Period. You've got to help me with this. You understand the war we're fighting, and you know that a lot of it occurs right inside the bookstores. The first battle, by the way, is inside the publishing houses. I'm shocked that Center Street Books had the guts to publish this book, and they didn't censor me, they didn't edit me, and believe me, there were things in here that are quite controversial. So I say we've gotten a lot
to get to this point, but now I need you to help me as being my army going into the stores, and don't let the people with people with nose rings, earrings, head rings, and appendix rings bury the book. But did you get a copy or not?
I did get a copy, and I'm going to give it to my friends. There were, and also I noticed there were only six copies on this table. I asked where all the other copies. They said that's all they had in the store. It's like, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. And so, I mean,
well, you know it's going to. You know they're going to be cleaned out in the first hour in Virginia, for God's sakes.
This is all.
I happen to know. I've got pictures. There's a rush on the book by women in burkas. I hear are buying them in droves.
No.
I mean, we know that they're the ones who want to read the American way, for sure. They can't wait to see what Government Zero's about. So it's those dressed in the 15th century costume of the Middle East that will be flocking to the bookstores in the Washington area to read the book. Because as you well know, they're very well versed in America, American history, American culture, and they love our borders, language, and culture.
Dr. Savage, I live in Arlington, Virginia, which we commonly call the People's Republic of Arlington because it's all composed of... If they're not, immigrants from third world countries, they're all white liberals who, they love minorities. They just want to send their kids to private schools as far away from them.
Well, that's right. You know how that works. They love minorities, but ask them the last time they had a minority to dinner.
Are you kidding? I live in a neighborhood full of them. They're the biggest hypocrites on the planet.
Well, remember, most of them are making big money by being big liberals. There's huge fortunes being made on feeding, housing, clothing, educating, medicating immigrants. There's a big industry. We know that in Europe, the mafia is running the immigrants in from the Middle East. The gangsters are. And in America, it's the liberal government itself making a fortune in grants and contracts. So don't think they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
The song is dedicated to all of the new immigrants to America who don't even know what it means. They don't even know what the word okie means. Those were white people who worked the soil during the Great Depression, the okies. There was no welfare, you see. No medication, no education. No lawyers from the ACLU suing God himself for bringing on a drought. That's who an okie was. And there was no one there to help him. So they had to work 15, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, picking grapes in California. And many people listening to this show are descendants of those Okies. And they're not any worse for it. See, hard work never killed anybody. Being a lazy bum who comes here and lives off the fat of the land is what kills you. First it kills your spirit, then it kills your soul. And then you wind up hating the nation that's feeding you. Because you realize the nation is stupid enough to feed you for doing nothing. And so you have contempt for the people around you, thinking that they are the ones who are stupid. What you don't realize is the people know who you are. The people despise you and your parasitic behavior. And it's not the people who are feeding you for doing nothing. It's the corrupt government feeding you because they want you to vote for them. And that's exactly how a nation collapses, through invasion. And it collapses first not from the invasion itself, but from the enemy within. I've reminded people on this show for years that the Native Americans, better known as Indians, were sold out by their own tribal leaders. They sold out for, I don't know, wampum, which was some kind of money, guns and liquor. And for doing that, they sold out their own tribesmen, tribeswomen. They sold out their own people, in other words. Same thing as what we have now going on in our government. Very similar, and it's catastrophically sad. And so what we're trying to do on shows like this and others is alert you to the fact that there is an America, a real America. There's a hardcore America. You just don't see it. Because in addition to the fact that we have louts running the government, we have the most anti-American sickos running the image machines in Hollywood, as witnessed by this director of the most filthy movies the world has ever seen. Violence, filth, pornography. Quentin Tarantino, who goes to New York yesterday. The same day they're burying a black policeman in New York who was shot by a black thug who he was pursuing on foot. And this lowlife, deranged director comes to town and placates the street thugs in Black Lives Matter simply to promote a movie that will be coming out. The only one missing from that display of hatred for the police was Harvey Weinstein, who should have been on a float with him, spewing anti-gun, anti-police rhetoric. That's what we have to say on the Savage Nation every day. I hope you enjoy it, because you know the truth hurts. The truth may hurt, but the truth, it is said, shall set us free. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Did you hear that song yesterday? Many people were stirred by this battle hymn of the Republic. Robert, can you find that one for us? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. If you remember the words of that song, it's an old one. And it has the word truth in it. When have you last heard the word truth spoken by anyone in politics? Have you heard one candidate say one word about the word truth itself? Has Hillary Clinton mentioned the word truth in any of her monologues against America and America's founding principles? I haven't heard the word truth come out of her mouth. Have you? Anyway, you get the picture. But I want to play that song the minute we find it. You can just play it at any time. That's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Okay, I got it. Go ahead. Vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Truth is marching on. That's a line that would get a laugh out of Woody Allen, Larry David, smoking a doobie somewhere in a Manhattan apartment or restaurant while listening to me, saying, we heard this guy is funny. Turn it off. We heard this guy Savage is funny. He does the best imitations ever of Bernie Sanders. I tried to top him on Saturday Night Live, but I couldn't do it, even though I had a stage set, coaching, lights, action camera. He has nothing. The guy is pretty good. Let's listen to that crackpot and see what he has to say today. See, when they hear something like that, the truth, his truth is marching on, a commie like them, communists like them, America haters like them, it's endemic in them, it's in their DNA. They hate the country. And you ask yourself, how could a man who made $1 billion doing funny shows hate the country? The answer is simple. Liberalism is a mental disorder. If you grow up around a table in Brooklyn, for example, in the 1950s or 40s, whenever they were boys, if you could imagine them as boys. They had commie parents who hated the country generally, not too far away from being an immigrant themselves. And instead of embracing and loving America, these were a certain breed of haters. They were communists through and through. They sent their children to communist camps in the Poconos, where the children were indoctrinated in America hatred. See if this is true or false. So you have the red diaper baby, who was sent to camps such as that, a well-documented fact. And then you added the 60s with the infliction of tetrahydrocannabinol on these sick minds. And then you have the advent or the birth of the red diaper doper baby, the RDDB. The RDDB now runs the country from Hollywood to Washington, to Sacramento, the sickest generation in American history, mentally sick, physically polluted, no souls, spirits that are dead. Look at the state of California. Take a look at the progressive government of California. It's not just a one-party system. It may as well be a non-party system. It may as well just be an autocracy run by Jerry Brown and his minions. They have a boondoggle called a high-speed rail. We all know it was a phony contracts for friends to make billions and billions of dollars over a 10 or 20 year period. Guess what just came out today? This rail line that Jerry Brown pushed through the state is not going to be finished on time. And it's not going to cost what they said it would cost. And guess who's going to pay for it? We will. It's a crime. It's a crime that was noted in the series True Detective this last year. It was all about the corruption of this railway line in California. Even Hollywood knows how corrupt this government is. And you say, well, if we all know it, why doesn't the FBI do something about these no-bid contracts? Why doesn't the FBI raid the offices in the state of California, the Transportation Department, and raid the offices and find the inside deals, get the emails? Well, my friends, we don't have an FBI that's independent. No, my friends, the days are long over that we have a separation of powers. Under Barry from Honolulu, there is only one power, and that is him. He is the ultimate master of this nation. And that's the way the liberals like it, because they themselves run their studios like little dictators. And so they figure if you run a country, you may as well run it like a studio. Just be a good tyrant. and you'll get everything you want as quickly as possible. I see that Mark Zuckerberg is giving speeches in broken Chinese in China in order to peddle Facebook to this very lucrative but untapped market in China. My salutes to you, Mark Zuckerberg, for speaking broken Chinese in China. I could just imagine what this would have done to the men who died at the Chosin Reservoir if they were still alive, Marky. But you see, for boys like you, there's, number one, no nation, and number two, there's no amount of money on earth that could ever fill your sick, empty soul. I got that out of my system pretty good. It's only 42 minutes after the hour, and was sailing along. I guess you thought I'd read from the book today. I haven't done that yet. I'm not ready for it. I think reading from books on the air is a little hard. I think it doesn't translate as well as talking from the heart. So I'll stick to talking to the heart. You want to call about the book, where you found it, where it was, what this, we'll do that. I want to hear about it. I want to note something, though, and I guess it's a little touchy. I don't know if he's going to want me to do this or not. Are you ready? Please listen. Guess whose birthday today is? And I don't know if he's listening, but he's the most important newsman since Randolph Hearst. That's right, his name is Matt Drudge, and today is his birthday. And I got to say, happy birthday, Mr. President. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, things are good. People are good. Business is great. How did that go, the 1970s bumper stickers? Doesn't it? Don't you wish we could turn the clock back to the innocent 70s? You know, sometimes I watch movies on television. I watch movies a lot on television. And I particularly like movies from the 1970s when almost all the cars were American cars. Remember those movies like French Connection? You rarely saw any so-called foreign cars. 1970s, 71, big American cars. They didn't handle very well. They turned corners. You know, that kind of early Godfather movies. Big American cars. Cadillacs, Chevys, Buicks, Chryslers. Remember those movies? And then something happened in the 70s. I was living in Honolulu very briefly at that time. And I noticed it happening there when the Japanese were bringing in loads of tourists from Japan, of course, very welcome in Hawaii. They pumped a lot of money into the economy. But I noticed something odd. They were putting them on Japanese tour buses in Honolulu with only Japanese notices on the buses. The tour buses were being shipped in from Japan by ship. They wouldn't even give a dime of the business to local tour companies. And I said, that doesn't seem fair to me. How could you let Japanese companies come to Hawaii and use tour buses from Japan and not use American tour bus companies? And I just shrugged and walked away from it. Well, as the time went on, of course, the movies changed, and there was hardly an American car to be seen on the streets of the films as the 80s evolved. Then in the 90s, they disappeared almost altogether. And the ships that I see traversing the waters of San Francisco Bay, they come in laden to the waterline with Japanese cars and Korean cars. The ships are down, down, down in the water with all the new cars that they produce in Korea and Japan. And then I watch the ships go back to Korea and Japan out of San Francisco Bay. I watch them very carefully. And the ships are riding 30 feet up above the waterline. Why are they riding so high? Why are they riding so high? Because you know what we're shipping back to them? Nothing. The Koreans buy nothing from us. The Japanese buy nothing from us. They dump their cars on our shores without tariffs. They buy nothing from us. That's how stupid this country is. Or shall I say, that's how corrupt this country is. Take your choice, because at the end it doesn't really matter. Now, that little observation about the ships, I have to correct slightly, because I understood the ships needed some ballast to go back across the Pacific Ocean, or else they would have probably, let's say, floundered in a rough sea. And so America did send things back to Japan and has found things to put on those ships. You know what those things are? Scrap metal to China. I used to boat down the estuary in Oakland, and there was a factory that ground up old metal, American metal, ground it up, broke it up, ground it up, broke it up, and through a conveyor belt pumped it into the holds of ships. See, they're very clever in China. They're buying our old steel, our old scrap metal. Now, there's a saying from the Spanish philosopher that fits right now, entitled, it goes like this: those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Now, you see, in the 1930s, the Japanese also bought our scrap metal. and the capitalists were so happy to send the scrap metal to Japan, they were paying good money for it. Japan was short on resources. They needed the scrap metal. No one looked as to what the Japanese were doing with that scrap metal, but they were busily building tanks, planes, bombs, rifles, bayonets that stabbed our boys in the heart. And of course, Karl Marx said that when the last capitalist is hung, we will hang him with the rope that he manufactured. All of this wisdom can be found in Government Zero. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Savage States of America, me. I used to do that in the show in the 90s. That was a lot of fun. We had a whole soundbite on it. I just got a great report from my agent out of New York City. We just got reports. You sold almost 10,000 pre-orders before the book even hit the stores today. Now, that means if the book sells another, I don't know, 10,000 this week, it's got to be in the top 10 of books. And the message will be Government Zero, no borders, no language, no culture.
The conservative talk radio host, Michael Savage, insists that the government is out of control. You can see how it will read, and you can see why they're going to try and bury it, but... hey, what can I tell you? Let's go to Karen, WMAL. Fire away, Karen. What's your question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'm so excited. I'm on my way to pick up my parents. I'm going to put them in the car. We're going to go look for your book here in Liberal, Maryland, which will be a small miracle if we can find it. But I'm sorry, I don't have it to refer to. I wanted to ask you about the 40 points that you have for us to take back our country. And I'm hoping that one of them is some sort of nonviolent revolution wherein we withhold our tax dollars from this unbridled spending government.
You are 1,000% correct. And in my 40 actions to save America, there is not one word calling for violence. First of all, it's illegal. Second of all, it's absurd, and I'll tell you why. Violence will lead to what's going on in Syria. Millions displaced, hundreds of thousands killed. Violence is never the solution, despite what you may read on the internet. Yes, you can use violence to defend yourself if it comes down to that. But never, ever do we ever talk about violence as a solution on this program. Now, having said that, the number one action to save America is close the borders completely for 7 years. Deport all illegal aliens in American prisons. Notice what I said. Woody Allen will say, Savage said, deport all illegal aliens. I said in American prisons. Repeal the Anchor Babies Law. Now, that's not really a law. It's an amendment which can be repealed, by the way. It was written for to make slaves full citizens. It was never intended to bring foreigners into the country and to bless them with citizenship. What is more cohesive than point five? Make English the official language of the United States. All ballots. You know, in San Francisco for 20 years now, they've had ballots in over 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 languages. Now, why would they have done that? One reason, to make sure that non-citizens could vote to keep the corrupt degenerates who run this city in power. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the sheeple. Stay in a line, my friend. We'll send you an extra copy for Hanukkah, Christmas, or Ramadan on the Savage Nation. I'll be back with 2 more hours with God's will and your listenership right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You ever see those people at like a wedding or an event that sing that you're embarrassed for? Well, that's me today. How about when your uncle gets up and sings and you cringe and your toes curl on your shoes? We always had a relative like that. There was an aunt who sang, and her husband loved her to death, and he would sit there like, oh, he was in love with her. We would all like, oh, my God. Even when you were 8 years old, you knew she couldn't sing. He loved her. So to him, the voice was beautiful. So when I sing this, I mean, I feel like that uncle, but what can you do? What do I care?
what do I got to lose at this point if I sing my way on a day that I'm celebrating? Because once a year we celebrate together on the Savage Nation. It's usually on book release day. Last October, last October it was Stop the Coming Civil War. And now it's Government Zero, and we'll have to see which way the chips may fall or which way the cookie crumbles, as they say. I don't know what's going to be the end here. I got to tell you this. The expectations are enormous for this book. I'll level with you. I don't think that there's any secret here. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but, hey, last year the publisher printed about 50,000 copies of Stop the Coming Civil War. And you went to the bookstores, and you swamped the bookstores, and you couldn't find the books. And they were caught short. They kept going back to press. They went up to 3, 4, 5, 6 printings in 2 weeks. So this year, they wanted to make sure there were enough books for my loyal listeners. I think they printed like 150,000 first printing. That's an enormous number of books. And I don't know whether there's 150,000 people out there who care enough about America or want to arm themselves with the information and facts they need to argue to save the nation. I hope so. I hope so. But all I can do is say to you, thank you very much if you did go out to support my message, and share it if you can. Let's go to the callers. John, line 8, WMAL, Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. Great show. Listen,
thank you.
I'm law enforcement, and I love listening to you, man. You're great. And I ordered your book about 4 weeks ago when I first heard you on the radio, and I said, hey, I like this guy. And look, there's a war on police, and you've mentioned it several times, and it's happened ever since Obama made that statement about the professor up in, I believe it was Boston.
That's right. When he took the side of the anti-police professor, Obama has declared a war on police in order to lay the groundwork for creating a federal police force and eliminate all community policing. You know that.
Oh, yeah. I know it from day one.
Now, you know, Zero Police, Chapter 12 of Government Zero, I'm going to read a paragraph. Obama's endgame, a federal police force. After yet another city lay in flames thanks to his divisive rhetoric and relentless war on local police, the grand illusionist in the White House had this to say, and I quote him. And I said, as usual, the Presidente glosses over the violent crimes committed by rioters and looters, calling them dysfunction, while making excuses for the inexcusable mayhem perpetrated by the thugs. But that's just more of what we've heard from the Marxist in chief since he took office. What he proposes to do about the crisis he helped create is even worse. Obama is working around the clock in the remaining months of his reign of terror to make certain he destroys the soldiers of our immune system, the police. And I'll let you come back on in now, John. You know better than all of us that right now the thugs feel empowered. They know the police are intimidated as a result of this revolutionary in the White House. Am I correct?
You're absolutely correct, because why would they put their rear end on the line when they're not going to be backed by their police chief, by their citizens, by their paychecks?
Well, look, I basically think that there should be a quiet boycott across America by police, and I think that that's what we're seeing. We've heard from the Chicago, whoever he may be, saying, I think it was even the mayor of Chicago, of all people, one of Obama's dearest lieutenants or friends, said that the police have become fetal, F-E-T-A-L, in their unwillingness to put their lives on the line for fear of being sued by the thugs who are committing the crimes. Well, guess who caused this retraction of the police in America? It's none other than the divisive revolutionary in the White House and his minions. You know that.
Mr. Savage, I'm sure you know this. Take a look at the Freddie Gray incident in Baltimore and look at the homicides and the non-fatal shooting increase for that incident. Because the police are going to handle their calls.
Well, you've died out, and I'm going to send you a free copy of Government Zero if you can stay in the line. Yes, Baltimore has gone up in flames as a result of Obama's flaming rhetoric, Eric Holder's flaming rhetoric, Al Sharpton, the street thug's flaming rhetoric. Baltimore went up in flames, and instead of arresting the rioters, they arrested the police. It's a terrible story, but the corruption in Baltimore is not a new story. Baltimore is about the second most corrupt city in America, next to San Francisco. But there are deep familial links between the corruption in these cities that I don't need to point out right now. At the end of the day, we understand what the goal is. The goal is to federalize the police force and have all roads lead to the White House. WBAP, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead. What's on your mind? What happened today?
Hey, Michael, I can report that in suburban Dallas, your book in Costco was placed very nicely. I was there early this morning and had the top right corner and with very well placement.
And God bless Costco. Everyone go in there and buy your books and buy some food at the same time. Buy some discount wine, cheese, food, books. Well, that's nice to hear that they don't, what, they don't have the green-haired people with rings in their nose in the book section. Is that why?
It's pretty civilized in Costco. And
well, because Costco is not primarily a bookstore. It's a store. Now, you see, here's an interesting thing. I've been a writer my entire life since I'm a kid. And people who go into bookstores are usually frustrated writers. And they think that by selling books, they're a combination of whoever their heroes may be. I don't know who they are today, but let's say Tolstoy, Dostoevsky in my day, Ernest Hemingway, Henry Miller. They all think that they're secretly the greatest novelist in America, but they haven't been discovered yet. So they're willing to take a job for a few dollars an hour to be around books. And by being around books somehow, they become a great writer themselves. And therefore, they become censors and editors by burying books, hiding books. You see, you get the picture. Well, thank you, my friend. Thanks for that kind report out of Costco territory. I know many of you out there don't believe in the Savage Nation, but I say to you, if you step up right now, and if you take the holy water, and you take the wafer, and you eat that wafer, and you drink that water, you'll become an honorary member of the Savage Nation, and by doing so, you'll save this fair country. I'm just letting go. It's been a long time in coming. It's been a long time in coming. Here's another report coming out of Pennsylvania. Mike, you had a different experience. What happened?
Yes, I proudly purchased Government Zero, and I noticed four or five of the books were bent on the same spot. You know, you have to work pretty hard to do that on a hard cover. So I mentioned it to the clerk. I said, did this happen in shipping, or do you have an in-house saboteur?
And she wow. Also, someone bent the covers in the bookstore?
Yes, not all of them, but half of them. And I looked around on other books that were in the current affairs. It wasn't up front. It was front and center in the current affairs, but there were no other books that were bent. So my sister, you know,
the bent people in America would bend the book about America that we love. And here's all I can say. If you go in a bookstore and you find somebody defacing or damaging my books, take a picture of them and send it to my Facebook account. We will try to get them prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I can guarantee you the bookstore is not doing it. It's got to be a disgruntled communist loser doing it. You know what I'm saying? But I'll send you a fresh, clean copy while they last for free. Breaking news. Let's have the breaking news sound, Robert. We just got this in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. It's breaking news, but it'll go nowhere. Here we go. House Republicans introduced measure to impeach IRS Commissioner Koskinen. House Republicans, yeah, on Tuesday introduced a resolution to impeach IRS Commissioner John Koskinen, accusing him of making false statements under oath and failing to comply with a subpoena, blah, 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 blah. Okay, the day anyone from the Obama administration goes to jail or even loses a pension is the day that, well, let us say I'll eat one of my own books. But it will have to have ketchup on it, otherwise I won't be able to digest it. Ketchup goes with everything, by the way. You may say I have prosaic taste, but I got to tell you the truth. Ketchup is my favorite sauce. I had someone I work with, a lawyer in Washington, a very nice guy. It ended on a bad note, but he was a nice guy. The overbilling, you know, about 30 grand overbilling. He told me his father, who lived to 98, I asked him, what's your father's secret? He said he put ketchup on everything. Well, I know from having a background in the field that ketchup is, sure, it's got a lot of sugar in it, it's got a lot of this and that, but all the condensed tomato sauce in there is really quite healthful because of the lycopene inherent in that vegetable called the tomato. Yes, indeed. The tomato, little understood vegetable. That's why everyone loves Italian sauce. That's why everyone loves Italian cuisine. It's that old tomato sauce. And you can tell a restaurant by its tomato sauce, by the way. There's no question about it. Did you notice that? The great restaurants have the greatest. I mean, this is a given. It's a well-known fact. I don't know. I can't. I find better sauce in a jar than I do in San Francisco. And I'm not knocking anyone out here. There are places that still have a little bit on the sauce side that's, Italian-like. But I find that they spice it too much here to accommodate the tastes of the chefs who come from south of the border. Not knocking that cuisine. Not knocking the cuisine, but it's not the same as Italian food. Italian food, Italian sauce in particular, was never supposed to be overdosed with red pepper. That's a little addition from our friends south of the border who man the kitchens. And they're nice people. Don't, I'm not saying it to pander. Last night I went to a restaurant to celebrate with Mrs. S., and I brought my own wine. Not that I'm cheap. I mean, I was willing to pay corkage. I just wanted to drink something good. So I brought a bottle of Italian wine I've kept for a long time. The Gaia. It's G-A-G-A. It's very costly, but I never get a hangover from it. Never. It's so dry. You can feel it dry out your tongue, you know, like when you drink it. I mean, you just can't believe how good really dry Italian wine is. It's really great. So, you know, the server was a very short, I would suspect, a guy from Guatemala, whatever. Nicest guy in the world. What do you think? I'm afraid or I'm angry? I'm not. I'm not looking to have Timothy McVeigh serve me. I'm not asking for Timothy McVeigh to serve me everywhere, cook my food. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, you know, we got to have a rational set of laws in this country. I mean, you want immigration? Well, then decide what kind of immigrants you want. You want them to come here and work or sit on welfare? Well, obviously, you want the former, not the latter. Nobody wants to bring in a leech or a parasite. Except Barack Hussein Obama seems to bring in leeches and parasites. They don't all come here to work. And that's why there's dissension in this country. See, if the immigrants were all working here, do you think there'd be this much dissension? If there were not so many crimes committed by illegals, do you think so many people would be noticing, complaining, and making this an issue for the presidency? No, my friends, but there is an inordinate amount of crime amongst immigrants, as we know. There's an inordinate amount of welfare recipients amongst immigrants compared to the indigenous native population, my friends. We understand that a good percentage of them work very hard, but what you don't know is that behind the scenes their wife is home with a number of babies and she is not working. And that's a problem because the country is broke. And of course, the only reason they get away with it is because Barry from Honolulu prints the money. You get it? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIA. Want to remind you of, like, the drunk uncle that you love because he had such incredible courage? He had a good voice, and he couldn't sing. And travel each and every highway. All right, Uncle Mo, get off the stage. I'm having a good time. Once a year, we have a party on the air. It's book launch day. I've worked so hard for this day. And by the way, so many of you are so loyal that you go out to buy the book for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know the psychology. Saying, Mike, I'm buying the book to support you. I love your show. I'll buy the book. That's what you're saying. You're not even going to read it. You don't want to read. It's too much time to read. It's easy to watch a television show. But since I'm banned on television, you won't hear it on television. Well, I could tell you something that I shouldn't say because it hasn't happened yet, but it has something to do with me and television. But let's wait on that one. Let's just wait on that one till it actually happens because you can throw a thing on it, you know, and kill it. Am I still on the air? I just saw my producer throw his hands up on the board. Am I actually communicating? I'm no way to know. I think so. Regressive had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exception. I played each other. Yes, there were times. Where is the one I'm a puppet, a poet, a pauper, a prince, a king? That's not my way. What song is that? I've loved, I've laughed and cried. I've had my fails, my share of losing. And now as tears subside, you know who wrote this song? Paul Anka. Paul Anka. By the way, he's of Arabic descent. And he is a Lebanese-Syrian Christian. I don't know if you know that. Paul Anka, one of the great musicians of our time, was also a phenomenal lyricist. And he wrote this song. I figured it was some Jewish songwriter who died in a motel room somewhere in Palm Springs because his girlfriend left him. But no, it was Paul Anka. Every time you see one of these great these great songs from the 50s and you look up who the songwriter was, the guy died broke in a dirty hotel room somewhere in Hollywood, right? Or in Palm Springs, you know, when Palm Springs was a dump. You know, I've never been to Palm Springs. I don't know what people go there for. I have no idea what they go there for, the palm trees and the heat. I don't get it. Everyone talking about going to Palm Springs, Palm Springs, Palm Springs. I don't like heat. I don't like palm trees, but okay, to each his own. But in those days, Palm Springs was not that hot. I mean, Sinatra had a house, but by today's standards, it was nothing. I was big, yeah, but it was like, you know, a mid-century, like ugly. I'm into architecture. I don't like single-pane sliding doors because it reminds me of movies where the hitman could come in by snapping the lock and sliding it open. I don't even like doors and windows in my houses, to be honest with you. If I could, I'd live in a bomb shelter. But then, of course, they would consider me crazy, so I don't live in a bomb shelter. I live in a bomb shelter of my mind, the Savage Nation. Okay, just having a good time, just rapping a little bit to keep you entertained. I'll be back in a minute. If you care to call, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a prawn, and a king. You know, actually, I don't like the word pawn in that. In that song, That's Life. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king. I like the word prawn instead of pawn. In fact, the next time I go in an Italian restaurant, I'm going to ask for an order of prawns marinara. And the guy will say, prawns? And I'll say, I want prawns marinara. This is quintessential America, is it not? I mean, when you hear Frank Sinatra singing That's Life, what do you think? What do you see? You see a black and white movie, you see Broadway, you see a black car going by, you see Frank inside with a perfect suit and a fedora. You see his friends, you see the Rat Pack, you see America smiling and laughing, having a drink, having a good time. You see well-dressed women. You don't see what you see today. Today it's like a garbage can. Take a look at the country today. Look in the streets. I walk around New York or I walk around San Francisco. Nobody wears any clothing. It's like they're ashamed to wear clothing. Look at Mark Zuckerberg. A guy worth endless billions goes to China and addresses them in broken Chinese in an undershirt. If he doesn't understand what a schmuck he looks like and what an embarrassment he is for America to do that, I can't help him. But anyway, look, that's one way of looking at things. There are many ways to look at things. It's a huge, huge universe. Everyone has their own perspective. I have mine. You have yours. And hopefully there's a number of us who still think the same way. We come together around the motto of borders, language, and culture. Now, before I come back to the very serious part of today's show, which are some of the 40 solutions to save the United States of America from the onslaught of Barry from Honolulu and his sorority, which I have in Government Zero, I want to play a wee portion of this morning's interview on my local radio station, KSFO, with Brian Sussman and Katie Green.
Michael, thanks for being with us this morning.
It's a beautiful day, you know, as people say. I wake up and look at the sunrise every day. I watch the birds on the bay. I watch the terns drop from the sky like a rock, pick up a fish. And truthfully, you know, it's the only way to get away from the insanity of the political world that we're living in. And the double talk, the double speak is overwhelming. Don't you just love how the Democrats care so much for the illegal immigrant, how they go to sleep every night thinking about how they can wash their feet, clothe them, and feed them? Now, of course, it was said years ago that the missionaries came to Hawaii to do good, and they did very well indeed. Nothing's really changed. Liberals always do good. But Pelosi and Feinstein do very well indeed on this particular issue, don't they?
They sure do. Michael, we have come to a point, and you really described this extremely well in Government Zero. I don't see anybody in Washington, D.C., Republican or Democrat, really willing to address the fact that that border needs to be sealed off. But what say you, Michael? How do we do this? What do we have to do?
I don't think it takes a genius to figure out how to secure a border. It takes a leader who believes in his own country. Need I say that Barry from Honolulu is a man without a country? Need I say that Barry from Honolulu has always, since his hippie mother put it into his head, always seen America as just another piece of the New World Order, just another egg to be broken for the New World Order omelet? The man is a stone Marxist. His mama taught him this on her knee. She hated America. She inculcated him with hatred for America. She told him to dissemble America because it's an evil country. If you study the mastery of this man, and I don't underestimate how brilliant he is,
mm-hmm.
The man is the most brilliant general the left has ever seen. He is smarter than Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin put together. Look at the revolution he has caused in this country without firing a shot, without lining people up against the wall. Look what he gets away with, and look how he does it. And so, again, don't underestimate who this man is and how powerful he is. And don't underestimate how he owns the media, lock, stock, and barrel. There are only a few voices in opposition right now. Now, you say, well, what's the big problem? I think we have to look to our cousins in Europe to see what's going on. When you see those pictures that came up this week, they look like army ants. I'm talking about the so-called migrants coming in from Africa and Syria and God knows where else, literally trampling the wheat fields of Europe. And it's an aerial shot. It looks like army ants raiding the nest of another, let us say, species. I've never seen anything like this. And the Europeans are powerless, ballless, clueless in protecting their own citizens from these hordes that are invading their nation. As I said last week on my show, and I think it's a very keen insight myself, but a sad one, and I know it's one that's going to alienate many people the minute I start it, but I'll start it in my own inimitable way. While Hitler invaded surrounding nations to impose his insane Nazi view upon them, Merkel, Obama, and the other weaklings of the West are invading their own nations, literally invading their own nations with foreign armies of people who largely do not contribute to society. This is a big lie. They all come here to work. So let's look at that for a minute. The liberal mantra is they all come here to work. We're all children of immigrants, and I am an immigrant son myself. But let's look at that for a moment. Barry from Honolulu brought in several hundred thousand, mainly young women and babies, last summer or the summer before, by the trainload. Remember them coming in from Honduras?
Absolutely.
El Salvador, Guatemala?
Yep.
Do you know of any infants working in America from Guatemala? Of course they're not working. Are their mothers working? Of course they're not working. They're home taking care of the baby. So who's supporting them? Baptist Family Services, Lutheran Family Services, Catholic Charities, you name it, all of the, quote, religious groups and their front businesses, which they cleverly set up as nonprofit 501c3s, have made billions of dollars a year housing, feeding, caring, medicating, educating these hordes that Barry dumped on the United States of America. They're not working. They didn't come here to work. So what did he bring them in for? What did he bring those women and children into this country for? They weren't facing imminent danger in their own country. They came here for a better life. That's wonderful. My grandfather came here for a better life, and he worked his heart out and died at 47 of a heart attack. So far as I know, these people are not working their hearts out. They're enjoying the luxuries that I pointed out in Government Zero, flat-screen televisions, yoga classes, you name it. They're getting a gold-plated treatment while most Americans who are poor are treated like garbage by this government. So you talk about Government Zero. Who is this government representing? All the special interests that are feasting off the illegal immigrant hordes. Now, remember, there's fortunes being made on this. This is something people don't understand. They say, well, we know that criminal gangs are behind smuggling in Europe. We've heard about that, right, where they charge these poor people money to bring them across borders. What we don't understand is that in our own country, there are gangs called social service organizations. They're organized gangs that are making billions of dollars by so-called servicing these hordes of illegal aliens. So this is just a thumbnail sketch of the corruption involved with this whole issue of immigration. Let's put aside the crime, the disease, the social disorder being caused by this. Let's just look at the dollars being stolen by corrupt politicians, their families, and their cronies. You talk about corruption, I think I've just spelled it out on a minor scale.
Savage.
All in Government Zero under zero immigration. Now the news. Let's look at the news. News is Paul Ryan slams budget deal, not the way to do people's business. That's called a shuck and a jive. He's bashing outgoing John Boehner and the Senate leaders in the White House for their backroom budget deal, saying the process stinks. That's called a sham. He was in on it. That's number one. He's making believe he's the outsider now who's angry at the establishment. That's to placate we the people into thinking he actually represents us as the Speaker of the House. Next story. CBS poll shock. Carson takes national lead over Trump. Well, the day you believe in a CBS poll, get back to me because I have, I have a number of things I could sell you that I can't mention on the air. CBS poll? That's an oxymoron. What do you mean, CBS poll? Three guys in a back room on marijuana. That's a CBS poll. Carson takes lead. Now, why would CBS want you to believe that Carson is beating Trump? Because they don't want Trump to run against Hillary. They know that Trump's liable to trounce her. Carson's going to lose. Carson never ran anything. Never ran anything. What, we want another inexperienced individual running the country? We didn't have enough with Obama now for 7 years? We need Carson like we need another hole in the head. He's a good man. That doesn't mean he's suitable to be president. Since when is just being a good man enough to run a country of this size with this kind of economy? The man has never run a business. So far as I know, he never created a product. He's a fine surgeon. But that doesn't translate to being a great leader, a great organizer. Does it? You need to be a great organizer, by the way, and a great politician to lead a country. And as you can see, Obama's a great organizer and a great politician. That's why he's leading the country over the cliff. Trump is a businessman. Whether you like him or not is irrelevant. He knows how to build and run businesses. And I've said in my last book, run America like a business. Then maybe we'll have some solvency in this nation again. Now you say, well, it's more than a business. A nation is more than a business. And I agree with you. A business does not have to provide social services. I get that. Although in the socialist environment in which they're living today, many businesses are many states in that regard, and the government's forcing them to run social services. But predominantly, they're not social service agencies. So a government has certain responsibilities. It has inherent debt that a business does not have. So there are differences. I'm aware of that. I'm not speaking specifically run the country like a business. But I would say putting some business practices in place as the president would be kind of important, such as tariffs on goods coming in from China and other places that are trading us into the Stone Age. Those are important points that a businessman understands that crackpot bureaucrats don't understand, that people have been trapped behind bureaucracies their whole lives don't understand. And unfortunately, there are too many of them in talk radio as well. People who've never built a business, run a business, they don't know the first thing about business. They think because they make a lot of money yakking their heads off that they're smart. Well, they may be smart enough to bamboozle the public, but it doesn't make them a businessman able to run the country. And speaking of talk radio hosts, I don't know if I can mention his name, but I'll just say it in general. There is a talk show host who poses as Joe Sixpack. He establishes himself as a regular guy. He looks like a regular guy, sounds like a regular guy, talks like a regular guy. But he owns something like 18,000 apartments in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, well, good for him, I said originally. You know, what the heck, could be built an empire like that? And then I learned that most of them are Section 8 housing. Now, he poses as a conservative, rails against big government. And I say to myself, wait a minute, if he owns 18,000 or so apartment units in Atlanta, Georgia, and they're Section 8 housing, who's he renting them to? Why, that would be homeless people, that would be illegal immigrants, and who's he collecting his checks from? Why, the very government that he rails against every day. And I think, by the way, that one of the greatest, I would say one of the most shocking stories the left could do, and I would go along with it, because I'm an independent, would be to expose all the people on the right who rail against big government, who in fact are extremely wealthy as a result of big government contracts. Start with the Section 8 housing owned by a talk show host who claims to be Joe Sixpack. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. You remember America when this song was popular?
We still...
I would say you're a member of the Savage Nation. If you don't know what the song is about, well, I'm sorry to tell you you're not. I mean, you could try to get in if you want. The club is full right now, but we have some membership, some waiting list for the memberships on the Savage Nation. I'm putting a call out now to antagonists on the left to listen to this show, because I got nothing to hide. That's the beauty of me. Say, why are you so bold and arrogant? Why do you talk like that? Really, I have nothing to hide. But there are those who are hiding behind the American flag and patriotism who are complete and utter liars and phonies. One of them makes about $30 million a year espousing the Joe Sixpack rhetoric every day on television and radio. He owns about 18,000 apartment units in Atlanta, Georgia, or in the environs of Atlanta, Georgia. Most, if not all, of these apartments are Section 8 housing. He is a slumlord. I welcome Vanity Fair,
the television show Vice, run by that lout, whatever his name is, that evil man from television land. I don't know his name. Bill Mocker. To investigate this pseudo-conservative who makes all this money off the backs of the poor people who believe in him. Investigate all of those on the right and follow their money and see if any of the money comes from the very same big government that they rail against. It's time to uncouple reality from fantasy, or else there's no chance to take back this government. In other words, if people who are railing against big government are in fact feasting on the big government, then what chance do we have? The answer is very, very slim chances indeed. It's a worthy investigation. I don't own Section 8 housing. I've got no ties to any government income other than my, I should say, Social Security check, which I earned by working since I'm 6 years old. I actually started contributing since I'm, I don't know how old, 17, whatever it was. But I've been working since I'm six. So a long time that I put money into this system. So I get the check. I add it to my money. I do what I want with it. It's my business. You didn't give it to me. I earned it. In fact, it's a paltry amount compared to what I put into Social Security. Nevertheless, as our number two comes to a conclusion on this launch day of Government Zero, I want to thank everyone out there, each and every one of you listening to this show, who went out to the bookstores today to show your commitment and your loyalty, yes, to me, Michael Savage, and of course to America, but I know many of you are doing it because you love me and you want to support me. That's all I can say. I know the zeitgeist of it, and thank you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Where'd that message lead to? Drugs, sex, and rock and roll? If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Where'd that lead us? Take a look at Barry in the White House. Barry from Honolulu, that's where it led us. Welcome to The Savage Nation. So many news stories. I mean, you get sick reading them. American warship sails past island in challenge to China. Now, that is one of the most ludicrous headlines I've ever seen in my life. A destroyer is sent to challenge the Chinese Navy. That's typical of the sorority. That's like taking a nail file to a gunfight. They're sending a single small destroyer. I mean, it's armed to the teeth, but you know very well that the launch tubes are probably filled with cotton on the Barry. I don't think they would want to spend the money on actual missiles. So they send the guided missile destroyer USS Lassen to sail past an artificial island created by China in the South China Sea in order to show that our presence is really there. Now, if you really wanted to send a signal, you send a carrier, a task force. That's if they still have one left. If they haven't fired all of the men who can run a carrier task force, I wouldn't know. I mean, after Benghazi, they fired many men who could run carriers because they knew the truth of Benghazi. But, yeah, you get the picture. You get the picture. So China complained. They said the move damaged U.S.-China relations and regional peace. You know how that works. That's like the Muslim front group saying that whenever you stand up to the creeping Sharia law, you're something phobic, I don't know. Just put slot in whatever you want in front of the word phobic. You can find the proper answer. This is probably sinophobic. Oh, yeah, sinophobia. That'll be used soon. Sinophobia. It's a sign of sinophobia. Something only Seinfeld could understand. Putting a naval destroyer in Chinese waters where they're building islands in the middle of other people's, territorial areas is a form of sinophobia on the part of Obama. And that would be a laugh. China claims it entered its 12-mile territorial limit around Subai Reef in the Spratly Islands archipelago. I like the word archipelago. Most people think it's archipelago, but it's not. It's like arch, like fallen arches. Archer. It's a fallen archipelago. The Spratly Islands are a fallen archipelago
that was regenerated by the Chinese into the reefs and the islets and atolls in order to build up a forward, let us say, military area for themselves. Now, why he would send a single destroyer is obvious, because it's not a serious challenge to China's supremacy of the seas in that area. It's that simple. All right. Well, let's go on to the next, sir. Female guards barred from transporting Gitmo detainees by court order. Now, you talk about a country that's bending over backwards to comply with Sharia law, which is the most vile law ever imagined for the freedom of women I've never seen. Senior defense officials, who are all capitulated cowards, have capitulated to the demands of the Muslim fanatics in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, who have said that female guards cannot transport the detainees suspected of being involved in the September 11 attack. That's because women are dirty to Muslims like this. You don't know that. I mean, dogs are dirty to them. Look the other way on that one. That tells you an awful lot. A military judge issued an order in January prohibiting female guards from transporting the defendants, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, after they refused to meet with defense lawyers and complained that any physical contact with unrelated women violated their Muslim beliefs. Ah, what a bunch of garbage. Muslim beliefs? They're raping and murdering girls in the Middle East. What Muslim beliefs are you talking about? You buy into this crap? Put them on chains and drag them into court. The ruling by Army Colonel James Pohl was meant to deal with their complaints. With their complaints. Can you imagine a military run by a bunch of sissies like this that give in to one of the world's worst terrorists? Do you realize how sexist and vile this is, or what a violation this is of our nation's sovereignty? But look, what's the point of getting outraged over this? It's just one of many that is ongoing now under the regime that is currently decimating the United States of America and the world for that matter. Which leads us to the Happy Days Are Here Again theme of today's show. Government Zero, published today, in the bookstores today. People are flocking and buying it. And over the coming days and weeks, we'll talk about the chapters. Government Zero, maybe I should tell you what it is. Or Zero Leadership, or things like that. I don't want to read it to you now. I did an interview this morning. We don't have the Newsmax TV interview, do we? We do? Yeah, we have it. I think it's worth playing a little snippet of it because it was done with Steve Malzberg this morning. And since I had to get up and put on a suit and a tie and get the lights up on the Skype machine, I don't know how it looked. Where is it right now? What site is it on? Is it on my site? WorldNet? Why would WorldNet Daily publish Newsmax? I don't get that one. Let me see it. It is up there. I don't know where it is. Hey, Michael Savage. No, that's their article. GOP not divided, it's compromised. That's their own article. But I don't know where this video is. Anyway, let's do this. Let's play a snippet of the Newsmax interview that I did this morning with Steve Malzberg. I want to hear it myself. Play it, please.
You are a borders culture, borders language culture guy. So to see the title of the book, Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture, right away I know it's not too optimistic a scenario you're painting.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just another book. It has solutions. It has the ammunition people need to convert a husband, a wife, a neighbor, a child who's been brainwashed in the government schools. They don't really know what's happening to this country. The machine is so powerful, Steve, as you well know. People have no idea. Remember the story came out about 2 weeks ago that the EPA spends $60 million a year on public relations?
Yeah.
External and internal? Okay, if a single department of Barack Hussein Obama spends $60 million to put out propaganda, what are they spending to make Barry look like a great patriotic commander-in-chief? $1 billion a year? $200 million a year? Take a look at the real story. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, but I don't want to go into Obama bashing. He bashes himself every time he speaks, if you really listen to what he's doing.
No, but you present a 40, as you mentioned, there are solutions, a 40-point plan to take this country back to the original intent in the ways the founders intended us to be.
I don't know about the founders. You know, this is another misnomer, and I don't want to split hairs here. Everyone keeps going back to the founders, and there's a little discomfort for me there for one reason. The principles were fantastic, but I think we all have to agree it was a little different, the country. Very homogeneous. Predominantly white people, Native Americans who were disenfranchised, didn't vote. Slaves who were here didn't vote, right? Landholders, mainly white men, God bless them, they built the nation. And a small land area, small population. The rules are great if you are
a religious person who believes in the Bible, follows the Bible, and I mean the Ten Commandments. I don't mean putting women in burqas and performing sexual mutilations on your young girls and blowing things up. I'm talking about the religion of peace called Christianity. That's one story. But now we're living in a pluralistic world, a multicultural world, for better or for worse. That's what we live in. But that's nothing new. Steve, I grew up in New York. I'm an immigrant son. I walked around the Lower East Side of New York. I walked through Chinatown. There were no signs in English. It was all in Chinese, right? In the Jewish area, it was all in Yiddish. In the Italian area, the signs were still in Italian. It didn't bother me. I'm aware of that. I'm not looking to go back to the horse and buggy or the musket. But we're not talking about that. When my grandfather came here, he taught me to be an American, learn English, love the country, it's the greatest place on earth. Unfortunately, we all know that's not what's happening. Now, this is old news. Everyone's heard this before. But I lay out in Government Zero, case by case, chapter by chapter, precisely what the decimation is, what Barry from Honolulu will likely do unless he is stopped. And I mean stopped legally. Don't get me wrong. I've called for the methods, and the first thing is exposure. It's knowledge.
Each of the past two elections, especially the last one, I said it's the most important election of my lifetime and possibly in the country's history. And now I guess I feel that this one is even more important than the last one and the one before it. But this one really, like you said, if Hillary wins, if a Democrat wins, there may be no turning back after 4 or 8 more years.
No, there would be no turning back. We know she's as corrupt as Cattlegate. We know who she is. She's nothing new. Who's Hillary Clinton? A fresh new face? She's a corrupt harridan. We had 8 years of her running the country with her husband, my husband. Forget about the sexual antics. I frankly could care less. What I cared about was the corruption that surrounded the Clinton machine. That's what we need again?
All right. So you also say that Hillary and Republicans are in, at least say this was a headline on Breitbart, I must confess, and I read most of the story, are in cahoots. In what respect?
New article today on WorldNet Daily. Michael Savage, Obama owns Republicans. GOP not divided. It's compromised. But yesterday's story was the bigger one, which is you're referring to, which is Republicans in cahoots with Hillary. What did I mean by that? I watched the hearings last week, the so-called Benghazi hearings, and I kept waiting for The Godfather Part 1 to appear, meaning the surprise witness. You remember the uncle from Sicily who comes in with a funny hat?
Yeah.
And he doesn't say a word, and the rat who was going to rat out the mafia suddenly dummies up because he looks at him. That was the end of the show, blew the hearings apart. Where was the surprise witness that the fake Republican interrogators could have brought in? And who are they? I named them in Government Zero. I named the generals and the admiral who Obama fired right after Benghazi. They were ready to send aid. They had the planes, they had the copters, they had the special forces, they had Delta Force. They were ready to go. Somebody said don't go. Somebody let the ambassador die and the bodyguards die. Somebody let that whole thing come apart. Who was that somebody? I don't know. Bring in the admiral who was fired by Obama. Admiral Goette, by the way. Bring in General Carter Ham, 26-year military veteran, African-American, in charge of the Africa Command. A great man, ready to help. Fired right after Benghazi. Why was he not brought in by the Republicans during their hearing on Benghazi? Because they were working with Hillary to anoint her. The establishment does not want Trump. The establishment would rather work with Hillary Clinton than with Donald Trump.
All right, let me ask you quickly about the Black Lives Matter. We have another incident in a school in South Carolina. A teacher said to the kid, put down your cell phone, stop talking. No. They call the principal, put it down. No. I'm calling the cop. Cop comes in, put it down or I'll drag you out of your seat. No. So the cop drags her out of the seat. Now the FBI is investigating. Black Lives Matter, they chant in the streets, you've seen it, and they don't denounce it, the leadership. Put pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Where the heck are we heading?
The Black Lives Matter movement, and I'm going to say it like it is, are Obama's shock troops. They're the brown shirts that Hitler had in Germany. How's that? Does that work for you? Never forget what Hitler did in the beginning. He used street thugs that he gave uniforms to, brown shirts and ties, to beat people up with clubs, to intimidate the police, to cause a total takeover of civil society. Make no mistake about it. This is the secret private army that Barack Hussein Obama's been talking about. That's what they're building. Let's say I'm paranoid. Let's say we're all crazy. What are they then? They're sterling citizens. They're all on their way to medical school before they became thugs in the street. Please, you know that's not the case.
Absolutely. Michael, we got 30 seconds. What do you want people to know about Government Zero?
Buy the book, share it with a neighbor, buy one, get one free, meaning give one to a neighbor, give one to a friend. Steve, you know, I've got to say this right now. I gave away $100,000 of my own money last year, 5 scholarships, 20 grand each, to 5 deserving college students who wrote great essays on what it means to be an American. I am not writing books to make a living. I make a good living in radio.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm writing this book to turn things around to save the country.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. You know, the haters are already on the Amazon review page. They didn't buy the book, but they're already hating. I got to read you some of these wonderful reviews. Guy says, to preface my review of Dr. Savage's book, let me set the stage. I am a professional who considers himself to be a relatively middle-of-the-road conservative. Much to the dismay of the foul-mouthed leftists, I don't live in a trailer park, I don't cling to my guns in the name of Jesus, and I don't belong to the Tea Party and never have. I do think that Congress has become infested with lunatics on both the right and the left, and I do think the situation in our country has become dire. Michael Savage, whether you like him or not, hits the ground running from page one, and the book is nearly impossible to put down. Now, here's another review. Some of them are a little too long. This is from Sarah Griffiths, published today on the bottom of the Amazon listing. For years, she says, I was a far-left liberal. This man is intelligent and eloquent. The finest mind on talk radio in Washington should be afraid of such intellect. He is prophetic and would have my vote if he ran for president. Now, of course, you're going to see negative reviews from the leftists who are the trolls who don't buy books by individuals such as myself. They hate America. They hate anybody with the guts to stand up to them. And so, therefore, read them if you wish. I really don't care. I know that most people who read the book understand who I am. Another one says, make no mistake, the ever-self-righteous indoctrinate elitist progressives that seem to make up a larger percentage of the noise level in our country are going to go out of their way to trash Dr. Savage's new book, some of them probably without even reading it. Many of them won't read this book, Government Zero, because it contains exactly what they don't want to know or admit, the unvarnished truth about what they and their intellectual ilk are doing to our nation in the names of their various activist causes and their broken ideologies. They will read about how the leftist Marxist propaganda machine in the United States is, in the name of fairness, equality, or justice, pick your buzzword, consuming the masses with a level of claptrap that's never been seen before. The leftist response to this book will most likely be their typical reaction to attempt to attack the intelligence of anyone who disagrees with them by calling them right-wing nut jobs, religious freaks, or teabaggers. It's the best they have. Michael Savage, whether you like him or not, hits the ground running from page one, and the book is nearly impossible to put down. Another one says, this is by D. Buxman, I was having trouble getting to sleep when the book came across my Kindle, but after the first few pages, I knew it was going to be a long night. First of all, I've never listened to Savage's radio show. I'm just not a radio guy. I've never bought any of his books. Contrary to the one-star reviewers that don't actually read this book, I think the central theme is undeniable. And he goes on, I won't read the whole thing. He said, this is probably the best book I have ever read. Savage keenly illustrates the fact that recent periods of Republican control have given us nothing in terms of smaller, more efficient government or more freedom, but have only yielded an imperceptible slowing of the progressive agenda. I want to conclude by saying, well, a lot of things, and I can't conclude by saying a lot of things in a short period of time. I'll save it for when I return from this break. I invite you to call the show with your comments live. After all, it is talk radio. On this great birthday of mine, the birth of a new book, it's the birth of a nation with Government Zero. I realize that if I was sophisticated and had nuance, the show would be on FM. And my voice would be more mellifluous. And we'd play Vivaldi in between the news about how great the progressive government is doing. And how kind and beneficial they are to all of the needy immigrants from around the world in our rich nation. But since I'm not on FM, nor am I FM Bob, I'm AM Mike, I'll put it in a different way to you. KSFO Will, welcome to the Savage Nation. Will, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, what's on my mind, Mike, is that I guess you might say I'm a positive fan, and you might like what I have to say. I'm basically a retired educator from, believe it or not, Palm Springs, California.
Sorry about what I said before, but I don't like the heat nor palm trees. But go on.
You know, when I graduated from there in 63 and did see those guys there. They did
come. Oh, you saw Frank Sinatra in Palm Springs. But what were you calling about other than Frank Sinatra in Palm Springs with Bob Hope and the girls hidden in the motel rooms?
Believe it or not, I saw him at the Riviera when I was about...
All right, so can we move away from Frank Sinatra now? What did you actually call about?
Oh, I called you about the fact that I'm looking forward to going to Palm Springs, having my wife take me, because she is a educator in migrant education.
All right, thanks for the call. It's just it's a crank call. It's going to be a next. It's going to be that we're going to get them now. That's what we're getting. He sounded like he had an adenoid problem. I think he needs some kind of a nasal surgery to go along with the crank call. Okay, New Hampshire, Mike, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, I went and got your new book this morning. I went to Barnes & Noble. I got there right when they opened. And the good news is that you were right on the Octagon, right next to Bill O'Reilly's book. But the
When is O'Reilly going to do a book called... Is O'Reilly going to ever do a book called Killing O'Reilly? Is that ever possible?
So I go up to the checkout, and this really strung-out girl looks like she hadn't showered in 3 days, takes the book. She rings me up, and once she sees the cover, she starts looking at me like I'm beneath contempt. Does they really
have superior. She's superior to you. You got to understand that. She's so superior, she hates America, she hates mercantilism, she hates Barnes & Noble, she hates her paycheck, she hates everything. That's what makes her superior, is her hatred.
Right. So she looks at me, she's looking at my clothes, and she says, oh, you going to work this morning? And I'm like, yeah, man. She gives me my change, and she says, you want a bag for the book? And I'm not really thinking, I'm like, all right, now I'm all set. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want the cover to get mangled up in the truck on the way to work. So I'm like, right. All right, go ahead and give me a bag. She goes, well, good, because I don't want to look at his face anyway.
Sounds like someone who hasn't had a date in 30 years.
She's a young girl. She's like mid-20s.
Hasn't had a date in 20 years. Where do you live in New Hampshire, my friend?
I live in Merrimack.
Beautiful state. I've always loved New Hampshire. The coastal region is gorgeous. And what I love the most about New Hampshire is that it was wonderful until all the New Yorkers and Bostonians moved there when land and houses were pretty inexpensive and ruined the state. But other than that, it's a pretty nice place. Well, thank you for listening. Where do you hear the show? On the internet in New Hampshire? Because I don't think I'm on a station in New Hampshire, am I?
You are. You're on WEZS in Laconia, which is in the lake.
Well, I apologize. I didn't know that. I mean, I love being on any affiliate I'm on, wherever I'm on. And that's beautiful to hear, to imagine. I try to imagine what it's like to drive around in a car, truck, whatever, or be sitting in a house and listening to me in various parts of the country. Well, now I will visualize you driving around in a truck in Laconia, New Hampshire, listening to the Savage Nation. Let me send you a free copy of the book to give away to a liberal neighbor, someone who doesn't even read yet. Maybe you can teach him how to read, and eventually in a few years he'll learn how to read the title of the book. It may take a few years for him to learn how to spell G-O-V-E-R-N-M-E-N-T-Z-E-R-O. Thanks for calling. I'm just an Okie from Finoki. Here's a nice caller out of WJR in Detroit. Notice I say Detroit, not Detroit. WJR in Detroit, my friend. What's on your mind, John?
Went out this morning to buy your book. I'd been in Walmart for the few weeks that they, you know, put the books on the shelves, and I told them you're going to have a good book coming up. Usually they'll put them in after it's out. But I went in this morning about 11 o'clock, and there was one copy left, and I bought it.
One copy left in Walmart? In which city?
Bell Fountain, Ohio.
Well, maybe they only ordered two copies. I don't know how many they ordered, that there was only one copy left. What, is there another conservative in the entire city?
Well, could be.
You may be only one of two conservatives in your whole town.
Could be, but I went down and I told them, I said, as soon as you get it in, I'll buy it. And I went this morning and it was there. They come in early in the morning and restock the book.
John, that's so kind of you. I'm sending you another copy, a free one for your ex-wife. Stay on the line. It's like it's a joke. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm sure he's a happily unmarried man. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe there could be some kind of buy-ins amongst women who have book clubs across America where they get together tomorrow, they have lunch, and they all go into a bookstore together, and they start demanding that the book be displayed more prominently, and then they buy them. I mean, that might a buy-in. You've heard of buy-ins back in the 60s? Why don't we have buy-ins across America and clean the bookshelves out? Because, you know, look, we're trying to send the message, yeah, I'm going to get rich and buy a beach house, right? I have a beach house. I have a new car. I have too many new cars. I give money away. Not to everybody. I give it to deserving kids who write great essays on what it means to be an American. I'm not doing it because I'm a greedy guy. I'm doing it because I'm an older guy. I'm doing it because I was a Boy Scout. And, you know, I remember the days of being an 11-year-old kid in the streets of Queens, walking around. I'll never forget it. Scoutmaster Aronson took all of us little boys and he said, we're going to give you the get out the vote cards. And I didn't quite understand it, but he said, one of the most patriotic things you could do in this country is vote. And he said, sadly, I'm talking in the 50s. He said, sadly, most people in America who have the right to do not vote. Well, as a kid, I thought that was terrible. I thought that if more people were motivated, they would go out and vote. So he gave us this stack of cards you're supposed to hang on a doorknob, and he sent me out to canvass a portion of the neighborhood. Well, being a kind of, I don't know, idealistic young boy, I walked with those cards till my feet hurt. It must have been 10 o'clock at night. It was dark. I paid no attention to the day or night. I just kept putting them on doors and doors and doors and doors till my mother called the police thinking I'd been kidnapped. And I think that ever since then, I've been somewhat involved in one way or another with the loss of civic duty and civic responsibility in the United States of America. You may say that's a broad statement, Savage. How do you prove it? I want you to look back upon my record as a writer. Look at the early books that I wrote. Plant a Tree. Plant a Tree, a Planter's Guide to Retreeing America. 1976. Macmillan published it. I poured my heart into that book. I envisioned regreening America. I went to every city and every state in this country. I studied which trees were right for which cities. And I poured my heart into that one. Great book. Why? I was sort of the Johnny Appleseed at that time. Books on on herbal medicine. Books on homeopathy. Books on nutrition. What was I trying to do? I was trying to give society something positive. And here I am. My entire impetus right now is not about nutrition. It's not about botany. It's about politics. I'm trying to re-green America. I'm trying to save America. In my own way, I'm still that little kid putting cards on doorknobs saying, get out the vote. I'll take a quick break and be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCO. Look, the hour's going to come to a close. You know that I'm in a good mood. It's the birth of a nation for me with the publication of Government Zero. I worked for a long time on this one. I always say I'm never going to do another one. I swore to the publisher after Stop the Coming Civil War I couldn't do it again. I was exhausted. Well, within a month, I started writing the next book. It started writing itself with what Barack Obama and the sorority was doing to this country and not fighting the war against ISIS, conducting a war on the middle class, conducting a war on the police, conducting a war on the church. The book started to write itself right on this show. And before long, I was writing Government Zero, was writing itself. And here we are a year later. The book is out. It took a long time. It was out yesterday. The Drudge Report linked the big story on it. And that was a huge day for me. It kicked sales way up through the roof to the chagrin of those who hate me on the right. Matt published a link to the book. I'm sure that they didn't want him to do it. I'm sure that the Rush Cartel complained bitterly by email. You understand we're not all friends after the shows are over. I wish we were. I wish we had some Friars Club of conservatives that got together and had a drink together. But There's too much meanness in the air. And you got people on the right who just hate each other. It's a sad truth. So we all walk alone in a certain way. I'm not a member of the Rush cartel. His brother, David Limbaugh, does not represent me. He represents three people in radio, myself not included. That should tell you all you need to know. Nothing wrong with representing three talkers as a lawyer agent. God bless all of them. They all deserve a short dance in the sun. We all deserve a dance in the sun. But you don't use that power to try and destroy a man who, frankly, has been doing a great job on the radio for 21 years. The shame on all of you in the Limbaugh cartel. Just shame on you. No one else is going to say it, but I'll say it. And one of them has 18,000 slum apartments in Atlanta, Georgia, collecting money from the federal government. How do you like that one? While he's Mr. Joe Sixpack in a Gulfstream. How stupid can people be? All right, I said my piece. I got it out of my system. The high to the low. The humor to the anger. It's me. It's Michael. Michael unbridled. Michael unchecked. Here's a little headline from WorldNet Daily. Islamic invasion pulls trigger. Europe now scrambles for guns. Women, in particular, are scrambling for long guns in Austria because of the Muslim hordes that are sweeping into their towns and cities. What do you want me to mince words with you? They have severe gun control in Austria. They can't own handguns. So they're buying rifles and shotguns. And the predominant buyers are women who are afraid of these people who are pouring into their towns and cities. You think the people are stupid? It's the drug addicts and it's the leadership, if you want to call them that. The corrupt leadership that is selling the people down the drain. Islamic invasion pulls trigger. Europe now scrambles for guns. And let me tell you something. At the same time, Austrians are arming themselves at record rates in an effort to defend their households against feared attacks from Muslim invaders. Hillary Clinton had the nerve to give a speech yesterday saying that she's going to seize guns. This is how backwards progressives really are. Hillary is one of the worst demagogues you could ever imagine. If you want Evita Perón in a combination deal with a few other dictators of the skirt variety, you know which way to vote. Evita Perón would be the lightest motif of what Hillary actually is. There are other models in human history from the political world that would come to mind. Hillary, I'm running for president to protect you all. Listen to this. Listen to this on Hillary Clinton attacking gun ownership in the Second Amendment in clip four.
I'm running for president to protect our families and communities from the plague of gun violence. It is both heartbreaking and infuriating
lose. All right, there she is. Now she's on the anti-gun rant. She thinks that's going to get her votes amongst whom? Who is going to vote for her on the seizure of guns when most liberals who are rational own guns? I know liberals. I've met them in my life. There are a few that I talk to. I did talk to, not anymore. They own guns. Why do they own guns? Well, they're afraid of the conservatives. And the conservatives are afraid of the liberals. So we all own guns. And that's a good thing. That's why we're on. We're allowed to own guns. And you know what's interesting about this gun thing? How come you all forgot that Supreme Court Justice Donna Kagan? Is it Donna Kagan? I'm not trying to mince her name. Is it Kagan? Cragen? I don't know what her name is. Elena Kagan. Elena Kagan was about as qualified to be a Supreme Court justice not as possible. Nevertheless, they foisted her upon us because that's Barry's idea is to own the court as well. We're one vote away from a disaster. Anyway, Kagan, when she was going through her Girl Scout confirmation hearing, got up there and said, the Second Amendment is established law. The Second Amendment is established law. Do we have that soundbite, Robert? You got to hear this one.
Is there any doubt after the court's decision in Heller and McDonald that the Second Amendment to the Constitution secures a fundamental right for an individual to own a firearm, use it for self-defense in their home?
There is no doubt, Senator Leahy. That is binding precedent, entitled to all the respect of binding precedent in any case. So that is settled law.
Settled law. Sorry, not established, but settled law. Settled law. Even Funny Face says it's settled law. Who's that actress from Honolulu? From Hollywood, who we all used to joke about? Funny face. What's her name? Who knows what her name is? The singer with the hook nose. I don't remember. She was big in the 60s, 70s, a big friend of Michael Jackson. I don't remember her name. Not Elizabeth Taylor. But whatever. So if you were to play this woman, she's from that variety of humanity. She says it's settled law, the Second Amendment. Do you remember that? Never forget what I just played for you. It's a seminal and important piece. I'm going to play it every day now for the rest of the month as I talk about Government Zero. Because the demagogue, Hillary Clinton, wants to take your guns away from you. It is set a law, and they're not a law unto themselves. God bless America that we still have freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Thank you for flocking to buy Government Zero.